Good evening, and thanks for joining WEKU for the Lexington Philharmonic Orchestra's October 2019 encore performance of Deep Music with guest conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto. I'm Wendy Barnett. Given the social distancing guidelines that have been in place and has kept audiences from gathering for live performances, WEKU has teamed up with the Lexington Philharmonic to present these broadcast concerts over the last 2 months. This evening's concert is the final broadcast of this series. You can also listen to this concert for a limited time on our website at weku.org. Just click on the blue box titled Encore Lexville Broadcast. WEKU and the Lexington Philharmonic Orchestra want to continue to bring the arts to the community during this time of the coronavirus outbreak. The need for music and the arts has never been more important. Continued support for the arts is vital for our community. If you're a financial supporter of any arts institutions or our station, thank you. While you're listening, we'd like to ask that you share the link for this performance from our website, weku.org, through your social media platforms, and use the hashtag LexPhilLivingRoom. Let your friends know that they can listen too for a limited time online. If you appreciate WEKU's and Lexington Philharmonic's commitment to bringing you these concerts, please make a contribution of support at weku.org. And thank you. On tonight's archive program, conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto leads the orchestra in the works of Beethoven, Hinostera, and Libby Larson. We'll hear more from Fujimoto a little later in the program. She was the second of four conductor finalists that we were introduced to during the season. The remaining two conductor finalists, Julia Tai and Keitaro Harada, will present their concerts when the Lexington Philharmonic resumes public performances. First in tonight's program, we have Deep Summer Music by Libby Larson. Born in Delaware, Larson is one of America's most performed living composers. Her catalog consists of over 500 works. Larson is co-founder of what is now known as the American Composers Forum. On the piece we're about to hear, she describes it as what one sees when looking at the panorama and the horizon of the Plain States. The colors of deep summer with ripened wheat, sunflowers, and the wave of harvest. And now, guest conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto, leading the Lexington Philharmonic from the October 2019 concert at the Singletary Center for the Arts. This is Deep Summer Music by Libby Larson. Thank you. That was conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto and the Lexington Philharmonic with Deep Summer Music by Libby Larson. This is a special encore performance of the Lexington Philharmonic on WEKU. Thanks for joining us. Our next piece features guest harp soloist Allegra Lilly. She will be performing with the Philharmonic in Ginastera's Harp Concerto. Lilly made her solo debut at the age of 12 with the Detroit Symphony and has appeared as soloist with the Juilliard Orchestra, National Repertory Orchestra, and is currently principal harp for the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Here is harp soloist Allegra Lilly performing with the Lexington Philharmonic, led by conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto in Ginastera's Harp Concerto, Opus 25.
Thank you.
Guest conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto, leading the Lexington Philharmonic in Hinasteris Harp Concerto Opus 25 with guest soloist Allegra Lilly. Coming up, guest conductor Fujimoto will lead the orchestra in Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. But first, when she was in town last October for her audition performance, Akiko Fujimoto stopped by Dynamic Studios and talked to Eastern Standard's Tom Martin.
Greetings, Akiko.
Greetings.
Are you ready for this intense week ahead?
I am. I'm so excited to be on the ground and start rehearsing with the musicians of the Lexington Philharmonic and make great music and share it with the audience.
Tell us how music came into your life and how it became your life's work.
Well, apparently my mother was playing a lot of classical music while I was in her womb. I think that counts for something. But it took until about 5 years after I came out of her womb for me to actually start playing an instrument, and that was the piano. She put me in a group piano lesson because we had just moved to a new city, and she wanted me to meet other kids. I played the trombone after starting on the trumpet, and I always sang in choirs. And then once I got to college, the trombone sort of took a back seat, but I started to do more singing and actually start conducting.
If you were pressed to describe your musical personality, what would you say?
I think my conducting personality has a lot of intensity, integrity, and passion. I'm a very, very passionate person who feels a lot, but maybe because of my Japanese background. You know, I might not express it when we're just talking to each other in the way that you would describe as passionate, but once I'm on the podium, conducting is my instrument. It's my medium of expression. It's the instrument that I feel most comfortable expressing myself musically. And somehow all of the passion inside of me gets unleashed, and it's the greatest feeling I have when I'm making music and sharing that passion with the musicians on stage and then with the audience.
When you're in Lexington, you're going to be conducting a program entitled, as I mentioned in the introduction, Deep Music. What is most exciting to you about the program that you'll be conducting?
Well, it's the fact that they chose the program for us, but it's the perfect program for me. That was a great coincidence. The first piece, Deep Summer Music, is by a Minnesotan composer, Libby Larson. And I had already met her when that piece was assigned to me by the Lexington Philharmonic, and I had already performed a couple of her pieces. I immediately was like, wow, how lucky am I that I already met the composer. I haven't done this piece in particular, but I feel very, you know, familiar with her and her style. And I had read her biography in addition to meeting her in person because I was studying other music by her. So I feel very lucky about that. And then the Ginastera, the harp concerto, I feel very lucky about because I had spent 5 years before coming to Minnesota in San Antonio, Texas, where the population is 65% Latino. And so part of my job was to do Latin-influenced or Latin American music a lot. It was our way of connecting with the community. And it was a genre that I had not really explored before because all of us who go to music schools and conservatories, our core repertoire, the meat and potatoes, tend to be the Central European and maybe, you know, Russian. You know, those two are sort of the bread and butter of what we do when we're growing up as musicians. So I hadn't really done a lot of Latin, and then I had to do it, and I feel very comfortable, even though the harp concerto itself is not overtly folk influenced. I feel a lot of affinity for music of the Americas, especially Southern and Central Americas. And the Beethoven, I mean, how much luckier can a girl get? And Beethoven 7 is one of the greatest miracles of Western civilization. And first of all, Beethoven, his symphonies are a conductor's Bible. That's what we start studying, and that's what we die studying. They're our life's work. And number 7 in particular is a piece that we all love performing. It's exciting. It's rhythmic. It gets quite intense and crazy toward the end. But then, of course, there's a slower second movement that is very famous and has been used in movie soundtracks and very iconic music. So popular that, you know, when Beethoven premiered it, he had to encore that second movement. So, you know, I just feel very lucky that I was given this wonderful program.
I mentioned that you'll be conducting the Lexington Philharmonic on the 25th, but on the evening before that, you will also lead Lexville's annual Music Builds Discovery concert, which is a field trip for Central Kentucky students. Do you enjoy taking the music to young listeners?
Yes, absolutely. I have been doing young people's concerts for the past 10 years of my life with various organizations, and I have a ton of experience with education concerts, both programming and presenting. And every orchestra does it a little bit differently. The one thing that's new about this Discovery concert is it is meant to target the widest range of age groups that I've ever encountered. Apparently, there will be anybody from third graders to high school students. I'm used to breaking things up a little bit more by age group, but this is a new challenge for me, and I'm up for it.
Well, thinking about the audience in more broad terms, what's your philosophy about community engagement?
Well, first of all, the role of the orchestra in any community is extremely important. I think it should be the center of the fine arts community, performing arts community. It tends to be the largest organization, arts organization in any community, just because of the sheer force and the resources that it takes to mount a professional orchestra concert. But I think it needs to be the central figure that is a resource for everybody, that plays the most important, and I don't want to put a value on different genres of music and types of performances, everything, everybody is important. But an orchestra has the ability to be the incubator for, you know, at the highest level, and also be the connector of all the different arts groups in the community, whether it be dance groups, ballet, or opera, or children's chorus, school music ensembles, youth orchestras, you know, and college ensembles. But an orchestra needs to be the central clearinghouse for all things artistic. And I'm sure many of the musicians in the Philharmonic teach in the area, and their presence is enormously important, that these talented folks are actually living in the area, I know many people commute from elsewhere into Lexington for these concerts, but the ones that do live there, you know, they serve the community on a weekly basis by teaching lessons and being part of the community and just living and breathing there. So I think having a professional orchestra like that in a community, it just enriches everything. We should also reach out and go into the community playing different venues and not just play, but also talk to the audience, mingle with the audience before and after performances. Because without the audience and the community's support and understanding, we don't exist. So we need to constantly show our appreciation and, most importantly, relevance. The Philharmonic needs to be indispensable to people's lives in a way that they can't imagine living in Lexington without the orchestra being there.
Well, you mentioned living here, living in Lexington, and obviously you are open to the prospect because you're a finalist conductor. But can you tell me a little bit more about that, about what excites you about the possibility of living in Lexington, Kentucky?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not too familiar with that part of the country yet. I've lived in California and in Northeast and then the South for the past 10 years. And now I'm in upper Midwest, but very, very cold. So I will be looking forward to...
We get all four seasons to the hilt here. Let me just warn you.
That's exactly what I was going to say, that I'm going to enjoy the four different temperaments, but hopefully you don't have the minus 28 degree weather in January or February. Okay, good. I was hoping that was not the case. And I'm looking forward to beautiful seasons. I know there's a lot of great nature. Obviously, you're the horse capital and the bourbon capital of the United States. So these are sort of like the fun things, you know, obvious things about Lexington. But the reason I would be excited to live in Lexington is because I would like to be part of community. As I mentioned before, you know, the people in the Philharmonic that live there and teach and go grocery shopping there, you know, I actually just started a music directorship of an orchestra in Texas that is just 5 weeks a year, but it's a non-residential job. It's called the Mid-Texas Symphony, and I commute there from wherever I am, and they do not require residence. It's a, you know, smaller scope of an organization, much smaller than Lexington Philharmonic. And as much as I enjoy that, I really am looking forward to having my first residential music directorship. And I'm hoping that's the Lexington Philharmonic, because to be a music director, I think, really means that you, to have the greatest impact on the organization, you need to be part of the community. And it's fun to be a flyby conductor too, but I think at the scope of the Lexington Philharmonic, you do need to keep a residence there and be available for meetings and events and not cram everything into the concert weeks and just let your life there breathe so that the organization and I can do the planning and brainstorming and all that, you know, and not stressed about doing everything the week of the visit or something like that. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about making music with this great orchestra. I know some of the, your former music director, Scott Terrell, used to be in my position years ago at the Minnesota Orchestra. And some of the musicians and staff are still friends with him. They keep in touch. And, you know, they know about the Lexington Philharmonic, and they're all excited about it for me. And as amazing as the Minnesota Orchestra is, of course, being a staff conductor is a different story than being a music director. And that's something I'm really, you know, looking forward to developing into, is having kind of a curatorial position, not just being a conductor of a certain specific concert, but being able to curate the overall experience and kind of like a chef, you know, designing a meal. If you could compare a season, an orchestra season, to a meal, I would love to design a great season, you know, with everybody in the organization, but be the driver of the process and give everybody a great experience.
Well, Akiko, you're going to have a very intense and very busy week here ahead, but of course, it's also an opportunity to discover those things that you're looking for, and I think you'll find them.
I think I will. I'm supposed to take a tour of the area on my first day, so I'm excited about that.
Akiko Fujimoto, associate conductor of the Minnesota Orchestra and a candidate for music director and conductor of the Lexington Philharmonic. Thanks so much, Akiko.
Thank you.
If you'd like to listen to this interview again or hear the other conductor finalist interviews, go to esweku.org, click Series, and in the drop-down box, select Lex Phil Conductor Interviews. On this page, you'll find Tom Martin's interviews with Thomas Hauser, Akiko Fujimoto, Kelly Corcoran, and Enrico Lopez-Yanez. This is a special encore performance of the Lexington Philharmonic from the October 2019 concert, Deep Music, with guest conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto. We have more from this concert in just a moment. Listen to this concert again online for a limited time and share with your friends to your social media using the hashtag LexPhilLivingRoom. Good evening, I'm Wendy Barnett. Thanks for joining us. Our final piece of the evening is Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. Thought of by many as one of Beethoven's best works, even himself, the symphony is dedicated to Count Moritz von Fries, Austrian nobleman, banker, and patron of the arts. When first premiered, the audience demanded an encore of the second movement, Allegretto. We will hear all four movements of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, performed by the Lexington Philharmonic, under the direction of conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto, from the October 2019 concert at the Singletary Center for the Arts.
Thank you. Thank you.
guest conductor finalist Akiko Fujimoto, leading the Lexington Philharmonic in Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. This has been a special rebroadcast from the October 2019 concert at the Singletary Center for the Arts on WEKU. Recording engineer is Dave Henderson. I'm Wendy Barnett. Thanks for joining us. This is the final encore presentation of Lexington Philharmonic concerts for this series. If you've enjoyed these concerts and appreciate WEKU continuing to bring you great classical music that you won't hear anywhere else, please consider making a contribution and becoming a member of WEKU at weku.org. And thanks. This is WEKU, public radio for Central and Eastern Kentucky.